See each one of you here this morning. Turn with me to Psalm 23, if you would, please. Most of you could quote this, I'm sure. But we want to look at what the Lord says about his position as a shepherd and we as his sheep. God uses sheep to illustrate the absolute dependence upon him. Sheep cannot survive without their shepherd. Neither can we survive without the Lord. We are absolutely dependent upon him for every need that we have. The only one that can make us into the image of Jesus is God. And so he shows us through this little psalm, how we relate to the shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture, and he cares for us, and he watches over us. And everything that comes into our life is filtered through his love. And God is at work in every one of our lives to make us into the image of his son. Sometimes it doesn't look like that, but he is. And we will end up being what he wants us to be. The Bible says, He who hath begun a good work in you will continue it till the time of Christ. When Jesus comes back, he will find us just like him, because we will see him as he is. Let's stand together in honor of God's word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your position in my life and in the life of your people as the good shepherd. Lord, I pray that we might always understand our absolute dependence upon you. Because, Lord, without you, we're nothing. And I pray that you would magnify your glory in us so that we might be what you need for us to be, to do what work you want to do through us. I ask that you remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me and use me as your instrument. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He begins here in the first three verses explaining the shepherd's provision. All of our needs are met by the Lord. Amen? Everything that we need, God supplies. And sometimes we think, well, I work hard for my livelihood. I do my job. I'm diligent. And so therefore, I am responsible for my income. But I want you to know that God, though he uses people in the middle between us and him, it still comes from him. Every good and precious gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. God is our provider. Don't ever get your focus on the people that God uses to bring his goodness to you. That can change. The provision will not. God always provides. Now, we can all think of situations where somebody didn't have all that they needed. But the truth is, they probably needed what they got to do something in their life. So don't judge other people's lives Just stick to what God's doing for you. In my life, God has been very faithful. God has blessed me. He has always taken care of me. The provision that He provides comes through different sources, but they come. Don't ever take your eyes off of the source and put it on the intermediary in between, because God is the one who is passing it on down. You see, if we take our eyes off the fact that Jesus is our supplier, He is our shepherd, He's the one that gives us what we need. If we take our eyes off of that, then we begin trying to please people to maintain the supply. People can change. You can go from one job to another job, but God is always the one behind all of it, getting the work to you, getting the money to you, doing whatever He has to do to bring about the supply to you. So He is our supplier. Now listen to what He says here in the first three verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Now notice, God knows all of our needs. He knows we have physical needs. He knows that we need His presence. And He knows that we need an emotional care given to us. So first, let's look at the physical. Philippians 4, 18 and 19. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now understand, Paul gives them the picture of how God has used them to supply His need, but it came from God. And then he says, and my God shall supply all your need. Now how's it going to come? He could have the ravens bring your food every day, but most of the time He sends us out to do work. And through that work we get paid and we are able to buy the things. But God is the one behind all of it. God is the one that supplies the strength to do it. And He is the one who is our shepherd and who meets every need that we have. Now, He says that He restores our soul. He meets our psychological needs. Listen to what He says here in Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. I love this passage. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You see that? When we trust in the Lord, He said, He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him. Now the word stayed there is like anchored. What God is looking for when He talks about this being stayed on Him, being anchored on Him, is that we trust Him no matter what. We trust Him in the good times. We trust Him in the bad times. We trust Him when we're hurting. We trust Him when we're happy. All of that trust brings peace. And God will keep us in peace as we trust Him. If you don't have peace, just trust God. God is the one who's the giver of peace. Nothing else can bring peace. There's not enough money in the world to bring peace. There's not enough of anything to bring peace except the Lord. We are dependent upon our shepherd for the emotional needs that we have. Now think about that. People are trying everything in the world to find peace and joy, and it only comes from one source, and that is from the shepherd. We need to find our peace in Jesus Christ, and we find it, as he says here, by just trusting God, knowing He's going to provide, He's going to take care of us. He's going to give us what we need, and we can have that joy and that peace in our heart. The paths that we walk on are prescribed by God when we trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That, I believe, is the most important phrase in that whole passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means in every situation, in every circumstance, everything that happens, trust God. With all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. It's so easy for us to try to figure things out as we go. Amen? And we try to say, well, this seems like it needs a little work here. This needs a little work here. I'm going to have to do something about this. But God says, don't lean to your own understanding. Just trust me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Now, this is a biggie. When things are happening in your life, acknowledge the fact that it's got to be filtered through God's love. You see, when things happen and we think they're bad, God can use them for good. Remember the story of Joseph and his brothers when they sold him into slavery? When they finally saw him as the number two man in Egypt ruling over the whole nation, and they thought he was going to hurt them. And they were begging. And Joseph said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Things happen sometimes that are painful in our lives. Things happen that we would not choose if we had the right to choose. But those things that happen, God uses for good. He's molding us. He's making us into the image of His Son. He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. There's nothing better than having God direct your steps and guide you day by day. You see, you don't even have to know where you're going if Jesus is directing your path. Just trust Him. God knows where He's going with this. God knows what He's doing. God knows how He's going to put this whole thing together. And He's good at what He does. He will finish the work that He has started in you. And He will make you what you ought to be. Now I want you to see the shepherd's presence. This is important. He says here in verse 4 and 5, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now, let's break this down. He says here, God hasn't promised that we're not going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. He hasn't promised that things are not going to happen in our life that are very hard to deal with. But He says, when I go through the valley of the shadow of death, you're going to be with me and you will comfort me. The rod and the staff is His power. Now, if we're going to lean on that, we have to understand there's nothing that God can't overcome. Think about that. You say, wait a minute, what about death? All God has to do is say the word, and death is overcome. All God has to do to heal is just think the thought, and the healing comes. So the rod and the staff represents the tremendous power of God. And He says, that comforts me. Why? Because I know that nothing in my life is too hard for God to deal with. And if He doesn't deal with it, then He wants it that way. You see, if God wants it that way, that's what's best for me. God's directing my path. God is taking care of me. Then He says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Even when things look terrible. And we can get discouraged looking at America, amen? America has a lot of sins in it. There's a lot of things in America that are wrong and bad. But you know what? God still loves us. He still cares for us. And He still watches over us right in the midst of all that's going on in America. And he delivers us. He says, my cup runs over. I can have abundant joy right in the middle of all that's going on. All of the problems. And we don't. It doesn't take rocket scientists to see that America has made some foolish decisions. We have a lot of laws on our books that are wrong against God. We know that. And we can get all discouraged and depressed about that. Or we can say, our God is able to deliver us. And we can just trust Him. And when we trust Him, our cup runs over. He gives us all we need in the way of joy and peace right in the midst of the storm. You see, Jesus can conquer the storm. Remember when the disciples were in the boat, a storm came up. It was trying to fill the boat up with water. The waves were coming over the boat. And those fellows knew they were in trouble. Long way to the shore. They couldn't swim that far. Jesus was asleep. They sized up the situation. They said, we're in trouble here. Better wake up the Lord. So they go in there and they woke him up and they said, don't you care that we're about to drown? He said, oh, you have little faith. He said, peace be still. And there was a calm. That's the power of God. No matter what's going on in your life, what seems terrible to you, God can just speak the word and it's gone. But God doesn't even have to do that. Right in the middle of all of this, He can prepare a table for you. Right in the presence of your enemies, He can anoint you with oil, the oil of gladness, and your cup will run over. You see, we're not subject to our circumstances. As a matter of fact, we're not even citizens of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so while we're here, we just pass them through. God uses us as salt, but when the world turns against God, then it turns against us. The Bible says, they won't hear you because they won't hear me. See, that's the world. When the world rejects God, they're going to reject us. And that's okay. Because God will use that against them and for us. He uses them as a refiner's fire to purify us. And to show us our absolute dependence upon Him. And as we depend upon Him, no matter what we go through, He is there. And His presence watches over us. Jesus says, and I love this, there is never any reason for us to fear. Do you know that? You say, wait a minute, that bad things happen. Things are out of control here. No, they're not. Not for me, not for you as a Christian. They're not out of control. God's in absolute control of our lives. He's watching over everything that happens to us. And He's controlling everything. You say, oh, but there's this, there's cancer and there's this and there's that. And all the wickedness of the world is going to overwhelm us. No, it's not. Because our God is in control. And He wants us to just trust Him and not be afraid. The only thing we're to fear is God. Listen to what He says here in Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, notice He says, no matter how bad things look, don't be afraid because I'm your God. God's real, folks. We're not praying to a stump that somebody whittled out. We're praying to the Creator God of the universe, who spoke everything into existence. And God says, I'm your God. Don't be afraid. There's no need, because I got this. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to uphold you. I'll help you. Now, if God's for us, who can be against us? And God has proclaimed that he's for us. So I just don't think I can go through this situation. God says, you can with his help. Just lean on him. Trust him. You say, well, will God really help you? Absolutely. This is a promise. God will be there. Fear thou not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. You see, that's the God that we serve. That's our shepherd. He says you don't need to be afraid, ever. But what about all this stuff that's going on in my life? What about all the calamity? What about all this? God's bigger than that. God can take you through problems and then just get you out of them. I have had situations in my life that God has taken me through. When he's through with the situation, it just dissolves. And when that happens, it's like, why did that seem hard? Because God just took care of it. God uses situations in our lives to mold us and to shape us. And so he says, now, while this is going on, just understand, I'm at work here. I got my work hat on and I've got my sleeves rolled up and I'm working in your life, so don't get afraid. It's just me. You're under construction. You say, well, that seems oversimplified. The Christian life is a simple thing. Just trust God. God is trustworthy. And if we trust him, he will work on our behalf. And he will finish what he started. That's promised in God's word. Now, the next thing is that there's no fight in this battle. When the Lord says that he is our shepherd and that he will prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies, when his presence is with us, there is no fight. You see, God has called us to rest. When God sends out his call to those who are laboring and trying hard to be what they're supposed to be, and trying hard to change themselves into the image of Christ and to produce their own righteousness, the Lord says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. You see, when God gives us rest, we rest while he works. God works in us to accomplish his purpose for us. I want you to understand something. The life that Jesus lived prepared him for the death that he died. The death that he died prepares us for the life that he lived. He died so that we might live. And the life that we live is not our life, but it's his life in us. We are in Christ Jesus. And so there is no battle to be fought here. All of that was done on the cross, and it was a finished work. All we do is just trust him, and he does the rest. You say, well, wait a minute, sometimes I fail. The only way you're going to fail is if God knows you need to fail to bring you to greater dependence upon him. And when you fail, be careful how you react to your failure. You know, when I was teaching Beth how to drive, every time she would mess up, I'd grab the wheel. Because I didn't want her to wreck the vehicle. But sometimes I catch myself doing that with God. God takes over my life. And something looks scary to me. So I grab the wheel. God says, look, don't be afraid. I got this. And see, folks, you may think you can produce your own righteousness. But God says, no, that's not going to happen. The choices here is either Christ's righteousness or your filthy rags. It's not Christ's righteousness or your righteousness. Romans chapter 10 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now listen to this. For they being ignorant of the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all that believe. Until we put our complete trust in Jesus to make us into whatever he wants us to be, we're fighting against him. We're struggling with him. God wants us to just submit. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So wait a minute. If I'm not going to be conformed to this world, then I got to do something. Doing something is what conforms you to the world. When you take over the wheel, it's all on you. And when it's all on you, you're going to fail. You see, God wants us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Now let's think about what that means. When a sacrifice was put on the altar and its feet were tied and it was fastened to the horns of the altar so it couldn't get away, it had no choice about what was about to happen. And as that sacrifice was killed, it still had no choice. You see, in order for Jesus to live in us, we have to die to self. And there's a process involved. And so God says, just trust me. You're going to go through a process. And some of that process is going to look like failure, but it is failure on the way to success. Because when you fail, the response to that failure is that, Lord, I need you more and more. I want to be more like Jesus every day. I want to be more like Jesus in every way. You see, failure is something that the devil points out in your life to get you to take over control. God says, you can trust me with failure. Took me a while to understand this concept. But think with me for a minute. Your sinful nature does not change when it's covered by God's grace. It's still sinful. God just holds it in by his grace. Now God sees your sinfulness all the time. He just doesn't let it come out into your flesh. And when it comes out into your flesh, you're not any more sinful than you were before it come out in your flesh. Now let that soak in. It's still there. You're still just as guilty of being a sinner when you're walking in the Spirit as when you're manifesting the flesh. God wants us to trust him no matter what happens in our life. And just be like that little lamb laying on the altar, saying, Lord, if you don't change me, nothing will change. If you don't fix me, it'll never be fixed. And just trusting God. God works much better when we are settled to take whatever he brings us. And he is good at what he does. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11 says this. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Doesn't that sound good? Struggle and struggle and struggle and labor and heavy laden. And the Lord says, just rest. Let me do this. Let me take care of this. And as you let God take care of it, he begins his work. There remaineth therefore rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own work, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You see, unbelief causes us to struggle and try to establish our own righteousness. But if we trust him to do in us what we can't do for ourselves, then he will begin the transformation by renewing our mind. And that's all his work. Now I want you to look at this, Romans 14:4. There is no failure for that person who's trusting God. And you say, wait a minute. I trust God and I fail a lot. Well, God doesn't consider it failure. Listen to this. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Isn't that something? Our shepherd knows how to fix every problem that comes into our life. You may feel like you are failing, but God says, no, my grace is sufficient. I can overcome this. And he takes you in. The worst thing we can do is to stop trusting God when failure comes. Worst thing we can do is to say, God, you've failed in my life. I'm going to have to do it myself. I'm going to take the wheel. You just sit over there, I'll drive, because you're messing me up. But when we do that, all we're going to do is continue in sin until God shows us our absolute dependence upon him. Failure will do that for you. So as we struggle, God says, trust me, and I'll deal with this. Now I want you to see verse 6, the shepherd's promise. I love this. Surely. That word surely means absolutely. Absolutely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now we know that when we die as Christians, we go to the Lord's house to dwell forever in heaven. He has a place prepared for us, and he'll come and get us. But notice he says that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life on earth. Goodness and mercy. What does that mean? Does that mean that nothing bad is ever going to happen? No, that's not what it means. Goodness is what God gives to us. Mercy is what keeps us from getting what we deserve. So he says, I've got you covered. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you the good. You'll eat the good of the land because you're my sheep. I'm going to take you to green pastures. I'm going to take you to still water. I'm going to supply every need you've got. I'm going to begin a transformation in your life. And my goodness will accomplish this in your life and make you good. And my mercy will cover you when you fail. It will overcome your failure. It will cause you to walk in righteousness as a gift. And then when you die, one of these days, unless the Lord comes back for us, we're all going to pass through the valley of the shadow of death. We're going to come to the place when it's time for us to leave life as we know it now and go into life as we will know it throughout all eternity. When that time comes, it's different for a child of God than for a lost person. When a child of God comes to that point in life, the angels come to gather them into heaven. God will welcome us into heaven. The last moment in this life begins the first moment in eternity. And we walk into heaven and whatever heaven is. And heaven is a wonderful place. The Bible's clear on that. When we walk into heaven, we're going to wonder why we stayed on earth so long. Because heaven is such a wonderful place. No more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death. Now, first the Lord promises while we're in this life, we will have help. You're not on your own. Listen to what he says in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Folks, that's a promise. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Our help is in the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. We have a helper who will help us all through our life. When we need discipline, he will discipline. When we need sympathy, he will give us sympathy. When we need mercy, he will give us mercy. He will help us in every need that we have. And our God is faithful. And he says that his purpose in our life, if we trust him, is our happiness, our joy. Listen to what he says here in John 15, 7 through 12. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You see, God wants us. His desire for us is to have abundant joy all the time. You say, well, how can I have abundant joy while I'm going through trouble? You just hand that to the Lord, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. He is in charge of us. And so he says, I want you to live your life resting in my goodness, resting in my mercy, resting in my grace, and have full joy all of your life. What about when bad things happen? Rejoice and be exceeding glad. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's the reason we rejoice. It is what God wants for us. You see, when these bad things come into our life, we lose a loved one. We lose finances, but whatever we lose, he says, rejoice, because this is the will of God for you. You say, well, why would God will that? Well, let's take death. Why would God take somebody to heaven? Is that to hurt them or to help them? It's to help them. Somebody's suffering in life, and the Lord says, I'm going to take this person to heaven. We ought to rejoice in that, because that's the will of God. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, we're not in any hurry to leave, to go to heaven. We want to stay here. God puts it in our hearts to stay here as long as we can. But one of these days, whenever he takes us home, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. And so, what about when things are taken away? Well, God's the one that gives us things. You know, Job said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't worry about it. You see, God is able to restore. And God says the worst thing we can do is to sacrifice our joy over things. Trust the Lord and have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Because you see, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what keeps us. That's what causes us to be able to be delivered, is the joy of the Lord as we trust in Him. And then the last thing of this verse, he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heaven is forever. 100 billion years from now, we'll all be enjoying heaven. Think about that. 1 gazillion years from now, we'll all be enjoying heaven. Every one of us. And heaven is forever. Just like hell is forever. There's a part of every person that has to live somewhere forever. I choose heaven. A lot of people choose hell, which to me seems foolish. And I don't care what the reason is. Heaven's the place to go, not hell. And Jesus has made it to where anybody who will call upon His name, confessing their sins, will be saved. Simple as that. If you go to hell, you'll do it by choice. You go to hell because you choose to go to hell. Listen to Revelation 21, 1 through 5. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now, you see here, this is a description of heaven. One of these days, when I leave this world, I'm going to that city of gold. And I'm going to live in that city of gold. Now, I don't know what life is going to be when I get there, but I'll tell you this, I have it on good authority that it's going to be a wonderful place. No more pain, no more suffering, no more death, no more separation. That sounds good to me. No more sin. You see, that's heaven. And the Lord is my shepherd, has already prepared a place for me. I'm not trying to prepare my own place in heaven by what I do down here. God's doing that through me. I'm just along for the ride. And I know that God does all things well. And He does a whole lot better job than I can do. And so I'm just going to trust Him with my life. Enjoy what time He gives me on this earth, trusting Him to take care of every need. And then when it comes time to die, I'm going to step over into glory. You see, I'm not ever going to die spiritually. The old body is going to be put in the grave. But you see, that's a good thing. I have a sinful nature that I want to get rid of real bad. And the only way I'm going to get rid of it is when I leave this body. And my new body is not going to have a sinful nature. And I'm going to have all of eternity to enjoy that compared to the few years that I live on this earth. You know, if you live to be 100, and you compare that to forever, That's just a drop in the bucket. If you drew a line from that door to that door, and you gave somebody a pencil, and you say, sharpen that pencil down small enough to represent 100 years on a line that goes on forever, they couldn't do it. No matter how small you made that little dot, it's not small enough. Because 100 years is nothing compared to forever. And this life will be over with, folks, quicker than we realize. But forever goes on forever. And God has a place prepared for us. And God is preparing us for that place. Let me encourage you, just trust God. Trust Him. Be His sheep. And let Him do whatever He wants to do in your life. Because see, if He don't fix it, it's not going to be fixed. You're not going to fix it. Best you can do is blow bubbles and kick up dust. He can fix the problem. Sometimes it's painful as He fixes the problem. But it's a good pain. I shared with my Sunday school class this morning, Pam and I were on vacation in Gatlinburg one time, and we went to watch this potter make little bowls. And while the girls were shopping, I sat there and watched him make these pots. And he would take a lump of clay and smack it down on the wheel, just flatten it out. Then the wheel would start spinning. He'd wet his hands and he'd stretch that thing. He'd get it way up like this and he'd go wham and slam it back down. So that seemed kind of pointless. So he'd wet his hands and he'd stretch it up real tall and then wham, he'd put it back down. I thought, this is getting boring, you know. Let's make something. And he kept that up until finally he was satisfied with it. And he whammed it back down, and this time he brought it up, and he shaped it, and he made a pretty little pot out of it. And I thought to myself, God says He's the potter, and I'm the clay. He doesn't just grab me and start fixing stuff. There's a whole lot of stretching and smacking. And it's necessary. Sometimes I don't like the stretching and smacking. But it gets me in the right consistency to mold me. And when God finishes the project, I will be whatever He wants me to be. And that's the best that I can be. It's whatever God wants me to be. Whatever that is, it's His business. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. And I'm thankful to God that He purchased me with His blood. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you to put your trust in Him and be saved. If you're here and you've been struggling in your sanctification process, put your trust in Jesus. Rest in Him. Let Him do for you what you can't do for yourself. And He will give you rest. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You have done in us whatever You have desired to do. And Lord, I pray that we might submit ourselves totally and completely to Your grace. Do in us according to Your will, because Your righteousness is the only righteousness, and Your love is the only real love. And we accept Your work in our life. I pray for the soul that's nearest hell this morning that You would save them by Your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.